Here on Talk of the Nation, we're concluding our series on American suburbs today. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Earlier, we were speaking about the state of suburbs closest to the cities, but what about those suburbs at the far reaches of a metro area? What challenges do they face? Joining us now to talk about the exurbs is David Gottschalk, a professor of city and regional planning at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He's at the studios of member station WUNC in Chapel Hill, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
What are the particular challenges of most of the outermost suburbs?
Well, in a word, it's exurban sprawl, and we've tried a lot of things to try to deal with that, but it's probably the most pressing problem in city and regional planning today.
And the sprawl you mentioned, obviously this is an issue on any number of levels, but what is it that attracts people to these suburbs in the first place?
Well, this kind of sprawl comes about because of a perverse mix of incentives. The farmers and landowners would like to sell their land and make a profit. The developers want less expensive land, and they want few restrictions on what they can do. The elected officials and politicians in the outlying counties want the increased tax base, but meanwhile their local government planning staffs are small and don't have much capacity to manage development. So all of those things seem to combine into this terrible stew and cause this problem we call exurban sprawl.
Let's get a caller on the line. Pierre is with us from Minneapolis.
Hi there.
Hi.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I've spent my life really despairing about the stew, I guess, the sprawl issue.
Mm-hmm.
And my background is as an urban minister in Chicago and New York, and it seems like it's historical. Like, I mean, decades and decades it's been going on, and it used to be cities could annex the suburbs, but then the suburbs became powerful to keep that from happening, and those first-ring suburbs are now... I guess my question is around, is there a limit, and when does regional planning say the limit has been reached, and everybody sits down, and the political free-for-all or the stew or whatever that's economically driven gets resolved? It could be done, you know, and the money isn't, where the money comes from is a big question in the first place, but...
Well.
People who can afford individually to give, to move out to the exurbs are also the people who are being most financially benefited by the government subsidies in terms of...
Why don't we stick to that point of where the limit is, at least for the moment.
The limit is.
Yeah, Pierre. David Gottschalk, is there a limit?
Well, I think Pierre's hit the nail on the head with that one. And that's what we're trying to search for in planning today is some kind of limit, some kind of pattern to bring a little bit of order out of this exurban chaos. One of the things we've tried to do, one of the tools that we've tried to invent, is called urban growth boundaries. And the idea here is that around every urban center, a boundary is drawn that will accommodate growth for the duration of the planning period, perhaps 20 years. And development's encouraged inside that boundary by putting in schools and infrastructure and community facilities and by having the right planning and zoning. And it's discouraged outside that boundary. So the urban growth boundary is one of the main tools of what we call smart growth today. You'll find it as a state requirement if you lived in the state of Oregon. Every major city in Oregon, also in the state of Washington, is required to have an urban growth boundary and to enforce it. You'll find that places like Denver, Colorado, are trying to do it on a voluntary basis with something called the Mile High Compact. But I think Pierre is really on the money. It is a problem of location, and how do you find the right mix of incentives and regulations to steer development to the places where you would like to have it?
It's also not an easy issue. I mean, obviously in Oregon, as you mentioned, it's at least one state, but you've got a lot of different political jurisdictions, not just cities and towns, but counties and different states in a lot of places.
That's right. And there's one of the real issues, because it's like a series of balkanized jurisdictions. No local government wants to surrender any of its land use authority or its tax possibilities to any other form of local government. So we've really built ourselves into a corner here through our system of governance. And that's what the regional agencies are struggling to find a way out of.
Are there structural issues in some of these very far outlying suburbs, including, you know, there's often difficulties anticipating the levels of, sanitation systems and school systems and road systems and all of those things that need to be built?
That's right. And because those far out jurisdictions and what are sometimes called the collar counties around the major metropolitan areas tend to be more rural. They have a lot less governance capacity. They have a lot less planning capacity. They haven't done the forecasting and they haven't done the analysis to figure out where growth ought to go and how to get it there. So they are a target for those developers who want to develop on the urban fringe and don't want any restrictions.
Let's get another caller on the line. Jim is with us from Massillon, Ohio.
Oh, hi, guys. I'm calling because you're talking about the sprawl thing, and we have it in every direction here. Massillon, I suppose you don't have a map of Ohio in front of you there.
But I don't, no.
Massillon is about 7 or 8 miles to the west of Canton, Ohio, where the, I guess, Football Hall of Fame, people might know that. We're 60 miles south of Cleveland, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the road that connects the two cities was once part of what was called the Lincoln Highway, the original American road. And the sprawl, there is a township in between on the east side of Massillon, called Perry Township, connects to the western side of Canton. And there is about an 8 or 10 mile stretch there that is nothing but every variety of building you can imagine, every variety of temporary sign and blinking light. And, of course, you know, the planning breaks down when you get further away from town, and then you get into a township situation, and you're back into a town. But the point is, when you go from Massillon to Canton or back again, you pass this endless array of construction that has been, you know, at various times housing, strip malls, and so forth. And I guess it was just something that had to happen the way that road developed from the original Lincoln Highway concept.
The planning, I guess, David Gottschalk is or lack of it is what you're talking about.
Exactly, and that very issue that Jim hit on is the coordination of land use and transportation planning. That's another hot topic in the field of planning today. Trying to do that historically, land use planners made their plans and transportation planners made their plans, and they really didn't work together. They didn't figure out the interaction between those things. But when you open up a new highway or a new beltway to a suburb, then you've opened up a whole new territory, and that affects the land use planning. And if you want to try to get any kind of mass transit, that's another problem. Of course, that hasn't penetrated to the exurbs yet. But the whole transportation land use nut is a hard one to crack.
Jim, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. I wanted to ask you about the point we were talking about earlier with Bill Hudnut and his examination of the inner ring suburbs, David Gottschalk, and that is the blight that affected so many cities in the 20th century has spread to the inner ring suburbs. If there's not redevelopment there, is it eventually going to spread out as far as people can drive and still get to work?
I think that's a possibility. We will see rural blight, exurban blight, particularly if these areas are not planned. You get a lot of individual subdivisions or office parks that are spread around that aren't linked to each other. So there's no real community there. There's just a whole series of individual projects kind of floating out there in the landscape. If we could figure out how to coordinate those and bring them together into communities, that's what we'd like to try to do, and that's the way you prevent blight, by keeping these places healthy and desirable places to live. And another way we do that is through urban design. The livability and the walkability of suburbs and residential areas also relates to the health issue that was talked about earlier, the rise in obesity.
Well, David Gottschalk, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
David Gottschalk was joining us from member station WUNC in Chapel Hill. He's a professor of city and regional planning at the University of North Carolina. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.